Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for July 20th. I'm Paul White. Every week, I try to remember to do this, but I fail a lot of times to remember. About 50% of the time, seems like I forget to tell you what the long sermon is going to be on Sunday. Tomorrow's platforms will feature two podcasts, of course, the Deeper Daily, and then our hour-long sermon from somewhere around the world in our travels, and we post those to YouTube, Facebook, etc. Tomorrow is from Leesburg, Missouri. It's a sermon titled Walk Worthy, and it walks you through Paul's instruction to the churches at Ephesus and Colossae to walk worthy of their calling. And we post this, we present this message as sort of an antidote to what has become a bit of an undertow in many grace communities, which is this backlash against ever telling people about how they should live or walk. And we need to be careful, of course, in telling people how to live and walk as whenever we're attaching their righteousness to it. That's awful. That's where we've overstepped the bounds of the Holy Spirit. But where we reject instruction on walking worthy of who we are, I think we're bordering on rebellion. And so this message walks through. We were at Living Word Church in Leesburg, Missouri. Pastor Dan Morrison and his congregation were gracious to have us on our trip through Missouri, and it got great instant feedback, and the Pastor Dan let me know how much that the church responded, that they felt like it was some watershed moment, sort of a turning point for them in the direction they're going, and hopefully one of those messages that they can look back on and feed from, and I hope you can too. So watch for Walk Worthy tomorrow. I want to deal one more day with the verse in question from yesterday's podcast, 1 Corinthians 4:15, though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you don't have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I've begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who's my beloved and faithful son in the Lord. And that's a portion of that's 16 and then a portion of verse 17. And I want to deal with it one more day in regards to something that some people try to stack up as a conflict. And I like to try to hit those conflicts head on, where people might see something in one verse and then something in another verse and go, what's the deal here? Why is one thing say something? So we dig into context when we see those things. I have misspoke before in regards to comparing text to text, and I don't ever want to make it look as if I'm casting any shade or doubt on the scriptures. Sometimes we get caught up in the moment and we say things and don't quite qualify them. I've been guilty. I'm probably the most guilty person of that I know, and it's something I agonize over. So I want to take my time with this and do this correctly. In Matthew 23, and contextually, Matthew is a book written to Israel, framing the life and ministry of Jesus to Israel, and to Israel in a way written before the fall of the temple, written to them in a way in which they see the eschatological framework that Jesus laid out. That's why that 24th chapter of Matthew is so crucial, because Jesus begins to answer specific time, place, and date questions. In the 23rd chapter, there's this long list of woes towards the scribes and Pharisees, and it's that 23rd chapter that culminates with Jesus saying, the righteous blood of the prophet's going to come upon this generation, and your house is left desolate to you. So he's heading towards this mountain peak, which will lead to the question of chapter 24 that the disciples will ask, when's this going to happen? On the way there, as that is building up, Jesus makes this statement in Matthew, and he's talking about the scribes and Pharisees, these men who he says are in Moses' seat. That's a scathing rebuke in the second verse, because Moses' seat's the seat of judgment, and the Pharisees and scribes sit there. And Jesus says this in verse 8, but you don't be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, For one is your teacher, the Christ, but he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. If you take this out of its context and you just say you just quoted Matthew 23:9, don't call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, for he who is in heaven. And then you ran over to 1 Corinthians 4, our text from verse 15. You have 10,000 instructors, but only one father. And then Paul claims to be that father. You might be able to say we've got a conflict with Scripture, but I don't think we have a conflict with Scripture, and here's why. I believe that in Matthew 23, Jesus is speaking of the titles of nobility that the scribes and Pharisees have placed upon themselves and put themselves in the Moses seat of verse 2. They call themselves rabbis, they call themselves teachers, they call themselves fathers. And Jesus is warning his disciples off of doing this because it, look at the next verse, verse 11, who's greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. And then he gives another woe to the scribes and Pharisees. In other words, these titles do not tend towards servanthood. These titles are taken by people who sit in the Moses seat. Be better than that. Why do I think Jesus means this? Because for one, if you call no man on earth your father except God, then you couldn't even call your earthly father, father. And yet the New Testament and the Old Testament, the entire Bible, speaks of the honoring of your father and the obedience of your father, not the rejection of your father. That would be against the spirit of honoring your father. So Jesus is not saying men can't be your father. Jesus is saying don't give yourself titles of nobility. Be a servant among men. So when Paul's making a separate argument in 1 Corinthians 4, he's not saying, hey, call me father because I've earned it. No, he's saying you guys have people that hold you by the hand, people who instruct you, but I'm the one who led you to Christ, and I ask you to imitate my actions. He's not taking a title upon himself. He's taking a position as the one who led them to Christ. And so that's not a conflicting verse. Some have tried to use that as some sort of contradiction. I don't believe that it is, and I don't believe that Paul fights Jesus ever. I think Paul rounds out the teaching of Christ. He doesn't conflict the teachings of Christ. That would be a destructive foundation upon which Christianity would have been built, and I don't see that. I think maybe, finally, tomorrow, we're ready to move past this little segment and dig into the 18th verse of 1 Corinthians 4. I'll see you then. Grace to you.